kill it. I was meant to win. I am down on willing, so I will find a way. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. That's how it winners made. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit of flame. I switch my style up, push the money pile up. I'ma get rich tonight.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Presents the Athletes of the Semifinals. We are West Coast classing it this week, and we have Allison Scuds with us. Allison, what's going on?
Hey, not too much. Just my rest day, and I'm happy to be here to chat all things life and semifinals with you.
Yeah, you are, of course, one of our favorites. You are hometown girl, you. Columbus, Ohio native.
That's right.
You know, that's why we root hard for you and follow you so closely.
Thank you. Got to represent.
Yeah. So I'm going to dive right into it. I have notes. They're in no order, no format. We're going formatless. We're just going to bounce all around.
Love it.
Okay. So I'm going to dive in real quick. Last time we spoke was at semifinals.
Yep, I remember.
And it was a tough weekend.
It was.
And what it showed me is how much this stuff means to you. Right?
Yeah.
Like it, can you describe, like, is it your competitive nature that you just love to compete, or is it something bigger than that?
I think it's a little bit of both, and it's kind of crazy, you know, like we're almost a year from that conversation that we talked about, and even just like talking about it, I'm like, woo, hope I don't start crying. but yeah, I think it's, you know, I've always been competitive and in athletics my whole life. And, so I think that is definitely a part of it, but everybody is, you know, inspired or motivated in their competitiveness for various different reasons. And I think for myself, I just know, like you said, how much it means to me and the work that I put in and have dedicated, you know, years and years, almost a decade of my life towards. And I have really high expectations for myself, because I've, you know, that's just the way that I do everything, is I'm kind of like an all-in type person. And so I think that it just, it does mean a lot to me because I know how hard that I work towards it. And I just also, for the love of the sport as well, like I love being able to challenge myself and learn new things and improve at things continuously, even when, you know, I feel like I've got them down. There's always a way to get a little bit better and more efficient movement wise, and so much to uncover even on the stuff outside of the gym with the recovery and the mindset and perspective and all of that. So yeah, I think that kind of answers your question.
You said almost a decade. Your first open was 2014.
Yeah.
We are 2024.
Yeah.
That's a full decade.
Yeah. I guess I'm, when I say almost a decade, I mean like of competing very seriously. Like many people, when I started CrossFit, I wasn't competing super seriously, but unlike a lot of people, I also knew that I did want to compete. Like that was one of the things that really motivated me. The first time I ever saw CrossFit was at Wodapalooza, and I saw, you know, people competing. And like I mentioned before, I come from a competitive athletics background, and I knew right away, I was like, I want to be out there, like on the floor doing that. And so, yes, it has been over a decade of doing some sort of CrossFit. This will be this semifinals will be my 9th individual appearance. So from 2016, when it was regionals, including the weird seasons where it was sanctionals there for a little bit, but every year I've competed at this level.
You came into the sport surrounded by that Miami hotbed, right? Like Guido and Noah and all of that.
Yeah.
They kind of have that as well. They have that same desire to continue to compete. Mm-hmm. What was it like at the time when you guys were training together?
I think it was just like I was very lucky to have found, you know, Peak 360. I'll include Dylan Nowitzki in there as well. Some people know him. He's think the president, or I don't know his exact title at Loud and Live now, but he's helping run all of those events. And we were Dylan and I were really good friends. Knew each other through school and were resident assistants. And he was like, "Oh, I think you'd really like this like CrossFit stuff." And he was the one that invited me to come check out Wodapalooza, which was at the time run by Guido, which Noah was competing. And I believe he won that year as well, the first time that I went to go watch. So it was kind of just this whole coincidental, you know, meeting of people that are like truly your people. And I just feel super grateful that that was my first introduction to CrossFit and my first CrossFit gym. And then my first experience coaching CrossFit and being around high level athletes. And it was just so inspiring. I think that's like, you know, seeing Noah compete at the highest level of the sport, that was really inspiring to me. And also just being kind of like a full-time athlete. I really admired that. And, you know, in my summer breaks from college, I would kind of like live that life a little bit, was always still working like here and there. But I remember vividly one summer, I think it was between my junior and senior year. I stayed in Miami and I was training all day. We had like a big group of people training. And it was just awesome. Like you would go in the morning and crush yourself and come home and like rest and eat and then go back to the gym and do it all over again. And I just loved that lifestyle. And I was really excited by the prospect of being able to do that once I graduated. And I mean, Noah, I think, was probably one of the only people that like I was like, I want to do that. And so kind of just like trying to like model what he was doing in a sense. And that's what really encouraged me to take the leap once I did graduate into trying to be a full-time athlete in the CrossFit space. But yeah, it was just very supportive, uplifting environment. Everybody was trying to get better and better those around them. Guido very much led by example. And I think, you know, in those types of environments, you need that strong, you know, leadership from the top. And his thing was iron sharpens iron. So the better that I am, the better that you're going to be, the better we're all going to be as a community and as individuals and as athletes and as humans. So it was very strong leadership and just focus on, you know, character and also just being a good athlete.
Did that set expectations that were appropriate, or were you going to set those expectations for yourself regardless?
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you're saying?
So you're around Noah, who wins Wodapalooza,
yeah,
who like jumps in the space, competes with Rich Froning, and competes with him, mm-hmm. like hits the scene, balls to the wall, right?
Yeah.
Now you're kind of following in his footsteps. Did that set an expectation that that's what you wanted to do, is immediately jump into and be as competitive as Noah was? Or were you going to be that way whether Noah showed you that or not?
I think I was going to be that way whether Noah showed me or not. Just before I was even really close with Noah, that was when I saw CrossFit and, you know, saw Talena Fortunato like crushing bar muscle ups at Wodapalooza. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be out on that floor and being like a badass athlete, like I'm watching. And so that was kind of like self, I guess, expectations. And like I kind of mentioned before, just, you know, if I'm going to do something, it's usually all in.
Yeah. Corey Leonard corrected me. Noah always hits the ground running, sprinting really way too fast.
Hey, I think that he's kind of, you know, in his years have learned to pace. And I think he was kind of like known for coming out hot and stuff. But you can't deny he's an incredible athlete and a legend in the sport.
Andrew Sten says, I hope Allison gets over the hump and makes the games as a competitor. Enough with the demo team.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
John Jenkins, Let's Go Scuds. Such a great person, very humble, ultimate encourager, and great.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. I didn't even realize we were live. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're live. We're live on 4 platforms.
Okay.
Facebook, X, Twitch, and YouTube.
Let's go.
So, another thing I want to talk about is you always have a smile on your face on the floor. And what I think I love about you the most as a competitor is when I'm at Wadapalooza and a good Journey song comes on and you are belting it out with everything you have on the floor while holding a barbell. How important is music when you're working out?
That's a great question that nobody has ever asked me before. And I think that, you know, for me, music is super important. My dad was a musician and both my parents very musically inclined. And I think it's just always been a part of my life. And I think it's kind of one of those things that you just kind of assume is like the same for everybody. But music is super important. And I feel like I develop like very strong emotional connections with particular songs. And I use it to manipulate my energy levels. And I pretty much always have some sort of like music, or even if it's just like ambient kind of stuff that I use for, you know, down regulation, or when I'm getting ready to go compete, or the morning before the open workouts, like I'm getting something on that's like making me feel like excited and happy. It is very important to me.
So now's the tough part of the question. If you could only have a 3-song playlist, oof, what are the 3 songs?
For every part of life or just working out?
We'll go working out. We'll make it a little easier.
Okay. I think, well, so there's this electronic artist they're called Two Lanes, and they have these, what they're called escape mixes. And they're kind of just like short, mini sets of like a lot of it's more than 3 songs, but those are definitely, I feel like I could put those on at any time and really like vibe to them. They're a little bit slower, which some people don't, love, but I like that like chill kind of like music for most of the time when I'm working out. So if I could have a cheat answer, I would say that the Two Lanes escape mixes, check those out on SoundCloud. My all-time hype song is Loyal by Odessa. But I feel like if I only had 3-song playlists, like it would get overused. Like I don't like to listen to it too frequently because then it kind of loses its zest, you know? But I like to throw that one on when I'm going for a big lift or a PR or something. And yeah, I don't have 2 other specific songs off the top of my head, but Fred Again and Duke Dumont are also big go-to artists there.
Well, when you reference SoundCloud, that shows how much into music you are.
Yeah. And you know what's even funnier about those escape mixes is that they actually, the artists kind of like took a different route than they were, I guess, than when they first started creating those mixes. So they took them off of SoundCloud. I was able to find them on Discord, join their like private group where they gave like a secret link to access all of the list. And so now I have that like bookmarked.
Wow. Yeah, that is deep diving it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the other direction. I have gone back to vinyl.
Okay.
And so can't play that when I'm working out, but like I collect vinyl. My daughter got me back into it. We go to record stores and dig through old records and stuff like that. And yeah. And so like nothing is like, I do have Spotify, but like nothing is.
You can't whatever. Compare. Yeah.
But when I first started podcasting, I was on SoundCloud. That was how my platform.
Nice.
And I saw all the other artists trying to get their stuff out there. So
yeah.
So with this, the preface that you love to have a good time on the floor, you are actually selling some merch
as a way
to kind of help support yourself. It's to the semifinals, all that stuff. I'm going to share my screen.
Oh, and let's go.
It falls in line with
everything.
It's perfect. There. Uh-oh, where did it go? There, I got it. Okay, boom.
Yeah, so I designed a couple of t-shirts here. Obviously on the back of the Scuds one, it says it doesn't have to be fun to be fun. And that's just a quote that's always resonated with me. And it really just means like your perspective on what's going on can really impact like your experience. So, you know, a lot of the times when we're doing a really tough workout, it's like, oh, this is like very painful, it's uncomfortable. And it's in those moments that I try to be like, this is awesome. Like how lucky am I to like have this experience where I'm like just deep in the pain cave. Like you have to really earn that experience as well. And I love to just like kind of like laugh at it, just be like, this is kind of silly and crazy, but it's fun too. And so that's where that one comes from. And obviously has my name on the front. And I wanted to design another option for people.
Before we get to the other option.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the silhouette of you.
Yes, that is of me. Yeah.
Right. It is also your profile picture on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Where's that from?
So that move is what's called a toe touch. And I came from the competitive cheerleading world. And part of the sport is different jumps. So that is one of the jumps that they do in competitive cheerleading. And I kind of forget that people, you know, that I'm pretty far away from that history of myself now. But when I was actually talking to the guys Sherpa Works who were making the shirt for me, he was like, oh yeah, the gymnast logo. And I was like, that's a picture of me. He was like, oh, that's cool. So yeah, that is an actual photo of me.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. And you were an all-star cheerleader here in Columbus, Ohio.
Just yep.
Everybody remember.
That's where I started off. Shout out to Step One All-Stars.
Whoop. I clicked on
there you go. Yeah, and so I wanted to design a secondary one for people who wanted to support me, but it wasn't necessarily like, you know, my name plastered all over it for people who, you know, maybe don't know me or want to wear it, you know, outside of just supporting me for semifinals. And this is a quote that I found this year, and I felt like going into my ninth attempt at making it to the games, I really resonated with, I want to see what happens if I don't give up. And yeah, that's kind of something that's really been in my ear all year. The front says do hard things, and it's kind of like a line drawing of a weightlifter. And yeah, I think it pretty much sums up what I'm doing. And I thank you very much for sharing these. And if you guys want to snag one of those, sure, we can drop the link for you, but it's also a link in my bio on Instagram. And we also did a couple little stickers with each of those designs as well that you can add on there. But yeah, all the proceeds go to help me get to semifinals and pay for the registration, Airbnb, gas, and all that good stuff. Oh, and if you order before Wednesday, I think they're guaranteed to get here before semis if you're happening to come on out to Carson. Are you coming out this year?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Dylan. I just talked to Dylan today.
Okay.
I just got a verbal approval for media credentials today.
Nice.
And now I got to figure out, can I afford it?
Yeah. Yep.
So that is my evening plans.
Cool.
So this is SherpaWorks.com. And they have a collection, Scuds, and you can go check it out there. And it's actually a perfect segue to something on your Instagram, that shirt. And that is, I have your Instagram here. You have like a little collage of all the years. Wrong one. There we go. So
2016.
These are all the years you've attempted to make the games.
Yeah.
And that's 17?
17, yep. The year, the infamous no barbell year.
18?
Yep.
I love the hair changes. And then was this sanctionals or did you?
Yes, this is sanctionals. This was the French throwdown. And this was strength and depth, also one of the sanctionals.
Okay. 20, the canceled year.
Yep.
21.
Yep. And that was the West Coast Classic.
Yep. And then 22.
Yep.
And 23. That is so freaking cool, though, having that timeline.
Thank you.
Any big memories from that like slideshow?
I think just my evolution as an athlete. I think, you know, every time I compete, it's very special and emotional and, you know, so many lessons learned from each one that is really the compilation of what makes me up as an athlete and person today. So just grateful for all those experiences and memories.
So what's funny is I think this is where I've met you for the first time.
I think so. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I interviewed you in the back hall in the hallway.
Yep.
You had a really good event. And that was with
D-ball one. Yeah.
I was with Morning Chalk Up.
Yep. Then. Yeah.
And so I was interviewing you then.
And that D-ball event was actually, that year at West Coast Classic, they were able to program all the events and they were all either repeats or revamps of old regionals and games workouts. And that they repeated what was the sandbag event in 2017, the final, and they used a D-ball this year. And that's still one of my all-time favorite events. I love just like a grip and rip event.
And so they are repeating another one this year.
They are.
That was repeated that year.
Yep.
And 16. So this will be your third
time doing time it.
yep. And that is the snatch ladder. How much better are you going to do this year than previous years?
Well, in 2016, I think something that's really interesting. In 2016, I believe I got 3 out of the 6 reps on the third bar, so the 155. And that was good enough for 11th place at regionals. And then this year in 21, at West Coast Classic, I finished it, was super pumped to finish it. And that was good enough for 20th place. I've definitely, if you haven't been following my journey at all, the last year I put on about 10 pounds of body weight and have really been focusing on my weightlifting and strength. And so I'm really excited to do, to get another shot at it and hopefully improve my time.
So I want to get into that change this year.
Yeah.
Just to finish up West Coast Classic that first year, I had dinner with Justin on the Monday mm-hmm. after that.
Okay.
And he told me that day that he was in talks with you to come to Underdogs.
Yep.
Right after that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
How big of a move was that for you?
It was not that big of a move. I mean, I think it was as far as like, it just felt like what I needed to do. And I think I'm very much live my life trusting in that intuition that I have for myself. So I basically, you know, in 2020, I was training alone in my garage and not even at like really a CrossFit gym anymore because of all the shutdowns. And it was tough. Like I was pretty much just doing my own programming and just very disconnected from any type of like community. And I was really good still really good friends with Bethany. But at the time I was like, hey, can I just come out and visit you? You guys look like you got a good crew there. And just want to kind of like shake things up a little bit. I've always, you know, kind of going back to my Peak 360 days, like always valued that community and people who are better than me, pushing me to, you know, become the best athlete that I can. So I went out and literally, it was such an awesome, like, welcoming experience. Everybody was super supportive, and it was just so, it was like exactly what I needed at the time. And one day into the trip, with no intentions of like this happening before the trip, I called Raph, my partner, and I was like, hey, so I think we need to move to Vegas. And he was like, oh, okay. And it was just one of those things that just felt like that was the next move that I needed to make. And yeah, really, really grateful for my experiences with Underdogs and with Justin.
So you bring up Raph, and I love Raph. He did, or Raph, right? Raph?
Yeah, either one.
Okay. And he did some commentary work for us mm-hmm. at the 22 games.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Mitch, we had them on doing some stuff. And he actually had his wisdom teeth pulled and still came on our show.
Forgot about that.
Which was hilarious. But my question to you is, now your partner's competing on the same weekends you are on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Does that complicate things? Does it make it easier?
I think it's about the same. You know, before he did team last year, we were, we had done some competitions, like both competing individually as well. And so I think it's just something that was pretty normal. Obviously, if he wasn't competing, he could be there, you know, to be, you know, everything helpful that I need. But he still does an amazing job of, you know, helping me and supporting me, even when he is competing. And so I think it's a net positive either way. And yeah, just both of us having each other to support each other, whether we're competing or not, is always great.
And then like last year, his team makes the games, and we've already talked about the emotions you're going through. Does mm-hmm. it help you get over that when you see him have the success?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like his success, I feel like, is also my success, and just being super happy for him to, you know, live his dreams and get to be there to support him. So I think it's still, you know, like it's very separate. Like I can be feeling both kind of things at the same time, like disappointment for myself and also happy for him and his dreams.
Yeah. So you talked about this last year, putting on some weight, didn't notice the weight being put on, lifts that you haven't PR'd in several years.
Yep.
So what does that do for your confidence going into semis this year, as opposed to the last couple?
I think that it's not like necessarily over, I wouldn't describe it as confidence, I guess. I think I just, or lack of confidence, you know, in years past. I think it's just every year I'm working on, you know, filling in the gaps of my weaknesses and becoming a better athlete overall. I think if anything, it's kind of exciting. You know, I did start this season off with two new coaches as well. And so just like a slightly different, you know, programming and training and peaking philosophies. So I'm just really like after quarters, especially with like there was a heavy barbell event there, which I felt like I really surprised myself on. So I'm more so just excited to see what I can do. And, you know, I am confident in my preparation as far as like doing everything I can to show up and be the best athlete that I can. But I think, you know, something else that I've been really working on this season with my mindset is just like accepting however good I am is how good I am, and not trying to like force confidence or force being better than I actually am. And just kind of letting it rip at semis and having a good time and seeing what happens.
Yeah, maybe confidence was the wrong word. Like, I started CrossFit in 2011. A PR is few and far between.
Yeah.
This far in, right?
Yep.
You know, you've been doing this since 14, maybe even a little bit before. PRs are hard to find.
Yeah.
And when you're hitting a couple of them in a row, like, you take
we're doing something back, right?
Like, wow, like something's happening.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, you know, like, as cliche as it is, like, you know, progress isn't always linear, and, you know, PRs don't necessarily mean, like, you know, that I'm going to perform better at the semifinals or whatever, but it's just all these like indicators that we're doing something right and we're on the right track and moving that needle in ways that I wasn't able to the last few seasons, hopefully.
So you said you're starting with two new coaches. Are you still with Underdogs? And
no, I'm no longer with Underdogs. I haven't been with them for the last few months. I think I made the change in like November or December. But still training at Camp Rhino with all the Underdogs, and still have a great relationship and huge respect for everything that they're doing, and you know, still train with everybody there. And but yes, I did start with two new coaches, David Spurr and Jeremy Meredith. And they both also coach Brent Fikowski.
Okay. That's cool. Do you ever train with Brent, or is it just kind of you both are remote and just kind of doing your thing?
So I went up, I think it was in November, I went up to Kelowna, and Vernon, which is where, that's where Jeremy lives. And, so I was training with Jeremy and had a few sessions, with Brent when I was up there. Wish I could train, you know, more frequently with him. He's awesome and has always been like an inspiration to me. Not obviously on a daily basis. I'm still here in Vegas and he's up there, but
if you're willing to share, Heidi Kroom is in the chat asking, I'm going to combine hers into one question.
Okay.
If you love them and still train there, why the switch?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, as a competitive athlete, you kind of have different needs at different times. And I ultimately just felt like I was needing something a little bit different, kind of like fresh pair of eyes. And I think just as far as like moving logistics, like it's a little bit harder to like pack up your whole life and move somewhere. But was really just kind of like looking for, I'm a very like analytical type of athlete and very technique focused, and I felt like I was missing that a little bit. And I think you can still love and respect people, but just figured that I needed something a little bit different for to get me to where I wanted to go. And that's kind of ultimately why I made the change, just looking for new set of eyes and different perspective. And I think, you know, I've had a handful of coaches through my CrossFit career and even, you know, through other sports in my life. And I think you can always, you know, you get a ton of value from everyone that you work with. And it's just kind of like your job to keep accumulating that and keep asking yourself the questions like, what are my needs as an athlete? And are those needs being met? And if not, like, how can I get those needs to be met? Because I think there's a lot of, like buy-in as well. Like if you don't believe in like what you're doing, then it's kind of like that self-fulfilling prophecy as well. Right. Like you need to feel like you're getting what you need, even if it's, you know, might not be actually what you need, I guess.
So my follow-up to that is, why them? Did you see something that Brent was doing that fit what you wanted, or did you shop around a little bit, talk to
some people? Honestly, it was a very organic the way that it happened, I wasn't necessarily shopping around or even looking for changing things up. I think just at the end of the season, I was kind of like, I had already decided that I was going to, like, I was determined to gain weight and gain strength. So I was kind of looking for like, maybe like a strength specialist. So I was talking to a few different coaches. Jesse Burdick helped me a little bit. One of my friends, Josh, just like a few perspectives on just like strength and like what people thought was like the best move there. And I actually reached out to David, who's my coach now, and him and I have been friends for years. He, I met him back when I was before even the West Coast Classic. Like he was like working for Brute at the time and, under Nick Fowler. So him and I had just become friends, through that and had maintained a friendship and, you know, really respect him. And, I actually reached out to David and was like, hey, do you know of anybody who might be able to like, you know, kind of like just give me some advice or advise on my programming? And he said, the smartest guy I know in strength and conditioning is Jeremy Meredith. Like, I'll set you guys up on a call and just, you know, just chat with him. And I just had a call with Jeremy, and he was just like, I had never met a coach that was, that spoke to me like Jeremy did. Like, I just felt like he really knew what he was talking about. And not that other coaches don't know what they're talking about, but he just had this way of like, he was clearly very smart, but then he was able to really translate that into like what I needed to do. And I felt like it was very specific and very, it made sense. And it was something that no, like things that no other coach had noticed or like had told me before. And so I kind of just like started, I had a couple like weekly check-ins. Like, he would give me homework and then he'd be like, okay, let's check in the next week. We started doing that. And I was like, hey, like you need to like be my coach. Like, I need to like hire you. Cause like, he was just giving me so much value and just kind of like reigniting my love for training, because I felt like I had these things to work on that nobody had really noticed before or had like, oh, like that's something like, I think it's easy to see like me move and just be like, yeah, you move really well. But he has like this very specific eye for things that it's like, yeah, you move well, but like you need to like, these are areas that you can like actually improve on. And so that was just a very organic, like natural fit. And I just really loved what I was getting from him. That's why I went up to visit him and train with him in Canada. And I kind of pitched to him like, hey, I'm really liking what we're doing. Like, is there any way that you can kind of like take me on full time? Because at the time it was kind of like, he was advising some of the stuff that I was doing with Underdogs and with Justin. And then, he ultimately, I don't think he has like a gym that he owns and a family. And I don't think he had like the bandwidth to fully take me on, but he had his partnership with David that they do with Brent. And he was kind of like, I think we should just do what we do with Brent. Like, I'll continue to advise, do like the strength and the Olympic lifting and, you know, breathing. And, you know, he knows a lot about everything. So, and then, so that's when I officially started with David, talked to him. And that was kind of like a no-brainer just because we had a friendship for years. And and I've also been friends with Brent for a while, and he's always been like an inspiration of mine, so that was just great. Just kind of like all happened, you know, right time and right place.
Wow, so learning so much on this episode.
Yeah.
Didn't even know we were going down this road. So
yeah, and like I said, it was kind of the thing that just again, you know, is like a theme in my life of like just intuition. Like, I felt like I needed something a little bit more technical in what I was doing, which led me to Jeremy, which then led me to David. And that was just, it wasn't something that I was necessarily searching out, but it felt like something that I had to do and it felt right. And so I'm just going with that and trusting it. And it's been a great season so far.
So Denise, legend 65 plus champion, She has a comment and a question.
Okay.
That's very smart. Every coach brings different skills to the training.
Yep.
And then she says, so true. Now that you put in more time weightlifting, do you love weightlifting more?
I think I've always loved weightlifting and all aspects of CrossFit. They're so challenging and you're never really there, you know, no matter how much you practice and everything. And, but I think the biggest difference that I've noticed these past few months with my weightlifting is I actually, you know, going back to the confidence thing, I do feel a lot more confident in my weightlifting. Like, I feel like I was doing a lot of like pull and pray before, and I moved, you know, generally well. I have good mobility. I had okay, like strength base. And so that kind of like, I felt like got me by for quite some time, but I wasn't like significantly improving. I was, and doing a lot of like intentional technique work. And so I think that the really big emphasis on that this off season, just spending like hours on technique and like very light weights and really dialing in like how it feels, I've developed like a confidence in like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing and I know how to do it. And like, obviously, you know, still fail lifts and stuff, but I feel like when I do fail, I'm like, oh, I know what I need to do to like not fail it again. Or I know like specifics of just more tools for the technique.
So you've said multiple times you move well. It's obvious because CrossFit picked you to be the face of movement. Is there any additional pressure being the face of this is how you move and it's you up there on the screen?
Not really. I mean, I think that's just how I move, right? So I think I always try to hold a standard of movement and, you know, that's just kind of, that's what I do. I don't really think of it as pressure too much.
I was thinking as the penalties were being leveled, you know, and you're the face of the movement. would it be a big hit if you got a penalty for movement standard?
I think yes, but I think that's any high level athlete, you know, I think, you know, there's nothing special about me necessarily that they use me for the movement library. I think all the high level athletes tend to move like fairly well. Otherwise they wouldn't have, you know, it's more efficient to move well.
I think your penalty say something else.
Yeah. but I actually did, I mean, I received a major penalty 2 years ago when they did this. It was pretty much this, people, I thought it was interesting this year. People were like, oh, they're doing things so differently this year. And it's like, no, they're not. They've always done this in quarterfinals. And I used to call it the pistol gate. It's like joke, but yeah, I got a major penalty in the pistol workout. And yeah, of course it doesn't feel good. And like I think I can, like, I wasn't penalized in the step ups, and maybe, you know, the pistol experience kind of did help me learn that lesson of like, there are certain movements that are easy to get in the gray area when you're trying to move really fast, like opening up your hips totally. And especially like my posture in general is a little bit like arched. And so even when I feel like I'm standing up straight, my hips aren't all the way open. I have to really make like an extra effort. So I can definitely empathize with the athletes that did get penalized for that. Yeah, it was a tricky scenario for everybody, I think. I've thought about it a lot, and I kind of think it was like the perfect storm of coincidences that led us to what happened this year in the quarterfinals.
So my argument, which is very different than most of the world, is that it's what CrossFit needed. I've too many times seen good movers mm-hmm. not make it to the next level because someone submitted a shitty video. Mm. And then they get to semis and they don't have the capacity or the skill to do the movements at semifinals.
Yeah.
And we're forced to watch a first heat of people who can't do the movements.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that CrossFit should lean into it and keep going forward, but give themselves more time to review all the videos, not just one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. And I think also, I think the biggest issue this year was like the size of the penalties. And I don't know. I haven't seen the videos of the people who got penalized, but
they, nobody's showing them.
Yeah. It appears like they were potentially a lot worse. Like kind of the, you know, the punishment didn't necessarily meet the crime, but like I said, I haven't seen the videos and my videos were good. So
you're pitching me a softball here. If I was accused of something that I didn't do, the first thing I would do was show the evidence of me doing it correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So, and I am very athlete friendly. Like yeah. I love all the athletes. I want to give everybody their due and, but I want the right people to be there too.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think the biggest like question is like whether, you know, whatever kind of reps that they had, was that deserving of being disqualified from the next level? And it's like, that's kind of like what CrossFit decided was the punishment. And so like, I think most of the athletes like sentiments that I've seen are like, yeah, some of my reps might've been a little bit shoddy, but like, so were everybody else's, you know, or so are the people, you know, the hundreds of people that I was placed in between. And I don't know, there's a lot of nuance in there.
I mean, there's some stuff that could be cleaned up around the edges for sure. But I think they need to keep going in this direction and clean that up.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you're saying. It's like, if you're going to hold the standard for like one specific movement out of all the workouts, like if you're able to, like, I get it's like a manpower thing, but try to do that for all the things. Then if you're really trying to send a message, cause it's kind of like almost unlucky, right? Like if, you know, other athletes were skirting the lines on other movements that didn't even get looked at, then that's not really fair, but
yeah, especially like the handstand pushups, the muscle ups and the clean and jerks should have all been reviewed on 3 and 4.
Yeah.
To make it fair across the board. Like those are all full extension things that we'd want to see.
Yeah.
But
I also get it from CrossFit's side. It's like, they only have so many people, so much time, so much resources, and thousands of athletes.
Right. But I want to be negative all the time. I want to be positive because this is cool. So you're going into semis. You said like this year, you're really working on the mentality of just let it rip and have a good time.
Yep.
For a very competitive person, how hard is that?
I think it's hard because I want to like, I think everybody feels a sense of like, hey, I've worked really hard. I deserve something for that. At least that's something that I've kind of like, you know, battled. And I think that I'm just trying to like, remember that I know the work that I've put in, the people closest to me, my coaches, my, you know, partner, my family, my closest friends, like they all see and respect and the work that I've put in, and just, and having some sort of like external validation for that is not necessarily necessary. Like it feels good, but at the end of the day, like it's not the end all be all. And it's obviously still a very, like, that's a goal of mine, but it's ultimately out of my control. And all I can do is just train hard and show up the best athlete that I can be and learn from those lessons and, you know, keep doing it over and over until I don't want to do it anymore. And I think it is difficult because people, myself included, like, especially younger athletes, like you put a lot of value in like your placement, and that is your value as like a person as well. And as a athlete, and I think you just have to remember like that isn't the full picture. And you can't just like put all of your value into that, I guess. And just learning to be proud of the work that you put in. And I think a lot of the ways, like, I've talked myself into, like, I would rather be the person and athlete that I am, knowing how hard and dedicated I've worked and how dedicated I've been, and not achieve the external validation, versus being somebody who, like, didn't necessarily work hard, wasn't a good person, and then, you know, did receive those things. Like, I would, at the end of the day, I'd rather be the person that I am.
Well, and that was kind of my follow-up is it easier knowing you've done everything you can possibly do this year to be the best Allison you can be?
I think there's aspects that are easier and that are harder. I think a lot of times people don't go all in on things, so they can kind of have that exit strategy of like, well, I wasn't really trying, or I didn't really care because I didn't, you know, they can kind of have that. But, you know, since I started competing seriously in CrossFit, I was like, I'm going to do everything in my power to what's available, you know, with the resources that are available to me, to go all in, because for myself, it is a little bit easier at the end of the day to be like, I feel fulfilled in knowing that I did everything that I could and gave my best effort. And yeah, it sucks when that's not good enough and it's not a good feeling, but it's a feeling that is more, I think, like sustained. Like, I feel very proud, you know, when we were going back through that slideshow of all the years, like, yeah, I never punched my ticket to the game any of those years, but I know the journey that I've been on and the lessons that I've learned.
You just cut out for just a brief moment, but I think we got the gist.
Okay.
And so, wow. So it's such good. You say, like, as long as you want to do it, mm-hmm. Is there an exit strategy? Is there? Or are you always going to want to compete?
I don't know. It's kind of going back to like the intuition thing. Like, right now it's still really calling me to like keep, you know, pounding away and like keep training and keep getting better. Cause I feel like I still am getting better. I think just to compete at the regional level for almost 10 years in a row, you have to get better every year, even just to, you know, remain in the more or less the same placings. So I think I don't have a specific kind of like next step as of now, but that's just because I still really love the game of it and the training and the lifestyle.
That's so cool. Because if you love the process, then the rest of it's just gravy.
Yeah.
Did you design the shirts yourself that you're selling this year?
Yeah, it was a collaborative effort. I kind of had like the initial like brainstorm, you know, rough sketches of everything. And then Chad at Mueller helped me put the designs on the shirts and brought my vision to life.
And you've created signature lines of clothing.
I have, yes.
And apparel. Yep. Is that something you want to dive into at some point, or?
That is something I would love to get back to. I actually considered kind of like starting up my own line. This was like an uncovered passion of mine that I found when I was doing that, designing clothing, like athletic clothing for women, to really like help them feel like they look good, but also like can stand up to their like tough workouts. I just loved designing those and bringing those to life. So I would absolutely love to do something like that in the future. I definitely have that like creative side of me that, and like the entrepreneurial side to like create stuff and put it out there. Haven't had the right opportunity to do so yet, but if anybody has any ideas, hit me up.
So you're looking
any apparel companies that would like to collaborate.
Yeah. Yeah. Let that be really cool.
Yeah, because I think just for where I'm at right now, like the prospect of like doing something ground up all by myself is just not realistic with the time commitment of being a full-time athlete right now.
You graduated from the University of Miami?
Yes.
What was your degree in?
Biomedical engineering. Two left turns from there.
Yeah, you're nowhere near that degree anymore.
Nope. But I think, you know, it's really about the character type that it takes to get a degree like that is very much who I still am. And I take with me through everything that I do of just like, I like doing really hard things and seeing if I can figure them out. And I want to see what happens if I don't give up.
I mean, I'm really nowhere near my degree anymore either. So, so that, I mean, like I think college is just a test. Can you get through?
Yeah.
Can you make it to the end? If you can, we'll give you a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Yeah. And it shows you're probably really freaking smart.
Thank you.
Well, this has been awesome. I'm not going to push anymore. I think this has been an amazing interview, and I was only supposed to go 30 minutes and we're at 56. So I'm going to let you have the rest of your rest day back. As always, Allison, this is just, you're always amazing to have on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you to everybody who was watching live and asking those questions. That was super fun. I always love to interact with people following the sport, following me. So please, you know, slide into the DMs whenever you have any questions about stuff. Love to just be connected with everybody and just share my journey, because that's really what part of, you know, like what really inspires me to keep going is just to enable others to go after their dreams and all of that.
And Denise, more to leave you with this, just to let you know, most of us 60 plus women's athletes don't care for booty shorts.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
If that's my market, I will nix the booty shorts off.
There you go. Well, thank you, Allison. Thank you, everybody in the chat. You've made this awesome. And we'll see everybody next time on Clydesdale Media Podcast. Interviews the athletes of the semifinals. Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Scott.
C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.